this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather. What's your weather for tomorrow? Unseasonably cold for New England. Frost advisories. Blizzard warnings continuing and colder for many areas in the northern Rockies. Snow down to Tahoe, several feet of snow across Montana, and even colder. And red flag warnings east of Denver for a fire danger. Now, compare that to record-setting heat across the south. Begging for some rain in many drought areas, but will stay dry all the way up the I-95 corridor and wet to start your day around the Great Lakes. Shower chances spreading from Illinois to Pennsylvania, even a severe threat for Indiana and Ohio. Sounds like pretty typical fall weather, but no, the winter conditions are very early in the northwest, and the heat is very late in the southeast. Plus, a monster hurricane on the other side of the Atlantic will push giant swells across the entire ocean and up into the Atlantic seaboard starting tomorrow. Expect some coastal flooding. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. We have weather reports every 30 minutes at 06 and 36. Hi there. Last week, I got the most amazing email right after I got off the air. Now, usually I get emails that say things like, you're overmodulating, or you're undermodulating, or there's a lot of static, or my favorite, the game was on. Where were you? Why weren't you there? The game was on. I'm like, oh, okay, I don't know. We're on 100 great radio stations like KMJ in Fresno, KARN in Little Rock, WMAL in Washington, D.C., WLS in Chicago. Wow, it's amazing. And therefore, I get some pretty amazing emails. Well, this email was the most amazing I've ever received. I told a story last week, 2 weeks ago, and thank you, Gary Arnell. I told a story 2 weeks ago about my daughter, Samantha. Now, Samantha has apraxia. Apraxia is a severe speech delay. But otherwise, she's, what do they say, age-appropriate. I say normal. She's my kid. I can say normal. But everything else about Amanda, everything else about Samantha is beautiful, outgoing, social. She's a great kid. But she has a severe speech delay. She's 7 years old. She speaks like a one-year-old. And the thing about Samantha that's amazing is that she's the happiest person I've ever known. She's not the happiest kid I've ever known. She's the happiest person I've ever known. Now, you know that, oh, I was looking at this. Let me turn off my phone as I go on my giant radio show. Yes, thank you. She is the happiest person I've ever known. And I thought, why is she the happiest person I've ever known? What is it about Samantha that she is the happiest person I've ever known? Because, gee, I've known her for 7 years. What is it that she does that stays happy? Sometimes there are people who are born with some perception problems, either physical or emotional, and they're just kind of happy all the time. But that's not the case with Samantha. Samantha is well aware of her surroundings. She's very much of this world. She knows exactly what's going on. The only challenge she's got is she has a speech delay. Yet she's the happiest person I've ever known. Why is Samantha the happiest person I've ever known? She's the happiest person I've ever known because if somebody says something that bothers her or offends her or disturbs her, and they say to her, hey, Samantha, I'm really sorry that I said that. I didn't mean to say that. I apologize for saying that. You know what she says?
That's okay.
She says?
That's okay.
She says?
That's okay.
She says, that's okay. And she means it, and she moves on. Resentments, anger, only live if people say things that are wrapped in resentments and anger. And when somebody says, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it, I apologize, if they are granted the gift of forgiveness, everybody gets to move on. And that's what I learned from Samantha.
That's okay.
If you say, Samantha, I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to say that your hair's a mess and that you We needed to get out on time. We needed to go to school sooner. She'll just look at you and go,
that's okay.
It's not a problem for her. Now, last Tuesday, and that's how she stays happy. She doesn't live in the moment that annoyed her. Now, if another kid shoves Samantha, causes her a scratch, a physical hurt, a bruise, you know, in the playground, as kids just do sometimes, then she'll run in and say, you know, Jimmy bothered me, Jimmy hit me, da-da-da. If there's a physical, real injury, she very much owns that and seeks corrective action from her parents, and she gets it. We will help her if there's a physical situation. But if at any time anybody said anything to her that offended her, it would never dawn on her to live in it. She just looks at you and goes,
that's okay.
Now, last week, I wanted to play something for you, but I really can't play much of anything. It's a great physical challenge tonight, as it usually is.
Dad, say it like this. It's the freaking OJs, man.
Last week, I realized something that's interesting. That at different ages and different points in our life, different things can ruin our day instantly. Like if you're 8 years old and you're getting dressed and you put on your shoes and you pull your shoelaces and one of them snaps, boom, day's ruined. Horrible day all of a sudden. Terrible, right? If you're 13 and you finally got up the guts to ask her out, you finally said, hey, Candy Jones, hey, Kathy Snedeker, will you go out with me? She finally got up the guts. What could ruin that? A zit. You know, there was a time before zits had their own TV show. There was a time period before that. And the, I'm going to drink water now. There was a time before zits had their own TV show. At 13, a zit can ruin your day forever. I mean, that's the end of my life. That's it. I can't ask her out now. We can't go to the dance now. Forget it. That won't happen now. Well, as we get older, different things can ruin our day forever. Not last Tuesday, but the Tuesday of the last time I was on the air. I was on the air 2 weeks ago. Thank you, Gary Arnell. 2 weeks ago. And let's see, Monday, that Tuesday morning, something happened that ruined my day. Period. I don't know if this ever happened to you, but this was it. This was like the worst thing that could possibly happen. Nothing this bad had happened to me in years. And it had been years since something like this had happened. It was unbelievable. I went to get ready. I went to get dressed. I went to take a shower. I go into the kitchen to deal with the one addiction I have left. Coffee! I pour the water into the pot. I pour the coffee into the canister, into the screen, into the filter. And then I push on and I leave. And now I'm getting dressed. I'm putting on my shoes. I'm in the shower. I get out. My phone rings. I'm answering the phone and I'm going downstairs to the kitchen and I'm talking on the phone. And at that moment, the worst thing possible as an adult has happened. The coffee pot has overflowed. You know what that looks like? Where there's water everywhere, it's like the TARDIS of carafes. There's far more water coming out than I put in. And there are coffee grounds. There's no coffee. Coffee has not happened. There are coffee grounds everywhere. And the kitchen counter is white. The kitchen floor is white. And I have the dishwasher open. So all of the coffee stuff has poured into the clean dishes. And at that moment, you look at it and you're like, I have no control over anything. I have no control over anything. And it's overwhelming. And it's like, how did all of this water come out of this small coffee pot? And I'm dumping it out and dumping the grounds out. And there it is. My day is ruined. My day is ruined because The coffee machine just went insane.
I'm ready.
All right, buddy. Say, oh, that's okay.
Guys, it's the Ojo man.
Say that again. That was great.
There's the Ojo man.
It's the OJ's man.
Yeah, I did it.
Say it.
It's the Ojo man.
Excellent. Now say, oh, that's okay.
That's okay.
Do it again.
Okay.
No, don't whisper. Just say, oh, that's okay.
That's okay.
But just normal. Just say it normal.
That's okay.
Perfect. Do it once more.
That's okay.
Can you say it slow? Oh, that's okay.
That's a okay.
I'm Walter M. Sterling. Coming up in just seconds, I'm going to tell you about the most famous woman you have never heard of. This is Sterling on Sunday. I love ForHims.com/Walter. ForHims.com/Walter is a company dedicated to giving men the support they need to look great and to feel great. They make terrific body lotion that smells like it's for guys, and hair products that'll help restore a balding head. But more importantly, when you want to be intimate with the person you've loved and the person you've legally married and the person you've partnered with, well, you should be able to. A lot of guys, once they're over 30, they have a challenge. And the challenge is a medical challenge. Now, if you want to be able to be intimate whenever you want, there's a medical solution to a medical problem. It's a medication you've heard about. A little blue pill. It used to cost hundreds and hundreds of bucks, no more. Now it's a generic medicine, and you can get it at forhims.com/Walter. It's a medicine. This is not a social issue. Here's how you get it. You go to forhims.com/Walter. They'll put you in touch with a real doctor, and the real doctor will determine if it's right for you. And then you won't believe it. Try 4HIMS for a month today for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. Prescription products are subject to doctor approval and require an online consultation with a physician who will determine that the medication and the prescription is appropriate. See the website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds of bucks if you went in person to the doctor's office or pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/Walter. That's forhims.com/Walter.
Sterling on Sunday. Sound imagined by Matt DeSantis.
The reason that I sounded off kilter is because doing the show from my laundry room causes us endless technical challenges every week. There is never a just smooth as silk show. It doesn't happen technically. I come in, I'm ready, I'm prepared as you would be. And then there's technical banana peels wherever I look. Believe it or not, a few of the little pieces of audio that you and I get to share is played from a different location. I can't play all of the audio from the laundry room. Some of the longer pieces I play from an actual studio by a terrific sound engineer named John Cole. He's fantastic. And John really works hard, and he does his best. And anybody who has to live with me, it's a nightmare. But tonight, he couldn't play the audio. He couldn't play any audio. When did I find that out? 10:04. 10:04. Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you who would not have put up with this. This is an amazing story. I mentioned to you that Samantha, my 7-year-old, forgives and forgets anything that's said to her right away. If you say to her, hey, Samantha, I didn't mean to say that. I apologize.
That's okay.
She forgives you right away because she understands two things. That if she stays in anger, if she walks around reviewing things that were said to her all day, she wouldn't be happy. And Samantha is the happiest person I have ever known. The other reason is I think she instinctively understands nothing's a big deal. And that the things that we think are permanent and will last forever do not. At the Emmys last week, there was Amy Paladino, who wrote the brilliant, the marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And she wrote every episode of the Gilmore Girls. Every episode of the Gilmore Girls until the last season, which wasn't as good. And then there was Daisy Carter, who wrote every episode of Designing Women. And these are amazing achievements. To be able to write network-quality television shows, this is quite an achievement. It's astonishing. But what's important is to put in perspective how long it will be remembered that Amy Paladino and Daisy Carter wrote these shows. How long it will be remembered. Long before Daisy Carter, long before Amy Paladino, there was a woman who did something those two did not. There was a woman who wrote every episode of her show. She produced her show, and she starred in her show. And more amazing, this show was on for 18, 20 years. She wrote, you ready for this? She wrote 5,000 scripts of a brilliant sitcom and soap opera. 5,000 scripts by hand. Think about that. She wrote 5,000 scripts by hand. And she did it out of her own memory, her instincts, things she believed in, things she used to know. Now imagine that, 5,000 scripts by hand. Oh, and she starred in the show, and she produced the show. At first it was on radio, and then it was on television. Now she was tough. There are sound effects records. If I wanted to play bacon, if I wanted to cook bacon on the air, if I wanted to cook fried eggs, I'd use a sound effect. We'd go to a sound effects company, and I'd play a sound effect. She was so particular and so insistent on how she did her show that she was so particular and so insistent on how she did her show that when the scene called for them to be in the kitchen and to make eggs, she insisted that they go to a frying pan, break the egg open, and fry it on the air, a real egg, not a folly egg, a real egg. Same thing with bacon, same thing with eggs, same thing if they were going outside. They walked through leaves and recorded it because she wanted that authenticity. Every single thing about a sitcom today, how the characters talk directly into the camera, how wacky neighbors like Kramer on Seinfeld just walk into the apartment without knocking, how they lean out the window and talk to the other neighbors, how there's product placement in every show. Do you know Dawson's Creek was like a billion-dollar show because everything from the motorcycle to the sweaters to the wallpaper to the paint, everything was product placement. They sold every square inch of that show before they wrote one script, but it all started with this one person who you've never heard of. And it goes to the fleeting nature of anything that goes on the air and how nothing is a big deal. Which is what Rosh Hashanah is about. That everything can be forgiven if you ask for forgiveness. And that's what my 7-year-old taught me. I'm like, why is she always happy? Why? She's happy because she instantly forgives. Nothing's going to offend that kid. She instantly forgives. So she lives in the moment. Oh, who was the person who wrote 5,000 scripts by hand? Starred in her own show, and oh, by the way, kept her network going through the Depression and World War II. She was the most powerful person in media, and she happened to be a woman. She won the first Emmy, period. She won the first Emmy, period. And the structure of sitcoms to this day is because of what she did. But just imagine for a second writing 5,000 scripts, and then just moments later in history, almost nobody can name who this is. Completely forgotten. I'll tell you who it is coming up in just seconds. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Complete weather for you coming up. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather. What's your weather for tomorrow? Unseasonably cold for New England. Frost advisories. blizzard warnings continuing and colder for many areas in the northern Rockies. Snow down to Tahoe, several feet of snow across Montana, and even colder. And red flag warnings east of Denver for fire danger. Now, compare that to record-setting heat across the south, begging for some rain in many drought areas, but we'll stay dry all the way up the I-95 corridor and wet to start your day around the Great Lakes. Shower chances spreading from Illinois to Pennsylvania, even a severe threat for Indiana and Ohio. Sounds like pretty typical fall weather, but no, the winter conditions are very early in the northwest, and the heat is very late in the southeast. Plus, a monster hurricane on the other side of the Atlantic will push giant swells across the entire ocean and up into the Atlantic seaboard starting tomorrow. Expect some coastal flooding. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Cryptozoology. Cryptozoology. The discovery of undiscovered animals. Later tonight, with Mountain Monsters on Sterling on Sunday.
The oldest continually operating radio station in the world sounds like this. That's coming up on Heartland Headlines tonight.
888-688-WALT. Remember, if anything bothers you at any time during the week, anything, all you have to do is look at the sky and go, it's the freaking OJs, man. That's how you say it, right?
Dad, say it like this. It's the freaking OJs, man.
That's okay.
All right, now listen. I have a 14-year-old daughter and a 16-year-old daughter, and that means I'm dealing... the boyfriends are fine. All of a sudden, I have to deal with the boyfriend's parents. With the boyfriend parents. I thought because I'm the father of the daughter that I was in charge. I thought because I was the father of the girl, I was in charge. Like, I got to decide curfew. I got to decide where they were going. I thought this was up to me. I am in a battle royale with my oldest daughter's boyfriend's mother. With the mother. And frankly, I need your help. I actually need advice. I had a problem with the 16-year-old a couple months ago, and you gave me spectacular advice, and it worked. I'll tell you what that was in just seconds. But I will share with you what the problem is and what I can do, and I need your help. Plus, everybody who calls in tonight gets a chance to win the Mystery Voice for a prize announcement and a gift. I saw this beautiful patriotic pin, a piece of jewelry designed for a woman to wear. And I thought, you know, if somebody guesses it, I will give them this gift. It's not a contest, not a real contest. It's a gift from me to you, because that's the nature of our relationship. That's the nature of our relationship. That's how we work. Now, I had this beautiful letter. Like I said, usually when I'm on the air, I get letters of complaint about overmodulation and static. But listen to this letter that I got 2 weeks ago. Hi, Walter. Listening to you on the radio, I just fixed and sent you a picture. They send me a picture. One of the things we do is Sabo snaps, Sterling snaps, where I get to see what you're looking at. And the station is KDKA. You're coming in loud and clear here in Granite City, Illinois. And then they said, your story about your daughter brought a tear to my wife's eye. And I salute you for bringing the story to the listener. You're a good man, and I hope you have this job till you want to retire. Take care, Jim and Lisa D. I didn't ask them for permission to use her last name, so we'll use Jim and Lisa D. They said this story that I told about my Samantha, who's 7, brought a tear to their eye, which is really sweet. The story is simply this, that she's the happiest person I've ever known. And then I thought, well, why is she the happiest person? It's not that she's, you know, a little dumb or a little out of it. She's very much with it. Why is she the happiest person I've ever known? And I realized in thinking about it over the past 2 weeks that the reason that she's the happiest person I've ever known is that when somebody says something that offends her or bothers her, the 7-year-old has the right instinct, or at least an instinct that she has taught me. I've learned a lot from her. And the instinct is to say, that's okay. That's okay. Nothing's a big deal to her.
That's okay.
Nothing's a big deal to her. she lets it go. She doesn't wrap it in a resentment. She doesn't wrap it in self-aggrandizement or pride or her own senses. She's like, hey, Samantha, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. I didn't mean to say something that upset you. And
That's okay.
Always okay. She lets it go so she can live in the moment. But there's another component to it. And the way I think people stay happy is this. They realize this is all tissue. It's all temporary. Everything we're dealing with is temporary and transient. A flash, a moment ago, just a spark in the history of man, a tiny spark. The most powerful person in American media was a woman who wrote the scripts for her own show, produced her own show, and starred in her own show. And she did this from 1929 to 1956. She wrote 5,000 scripts. Amy Palladino for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, 11 scripts. Not taking it away. Love the show, but it's 11 scripts. A television season of a big network show on CBS, NBC, that's 22 scripts. But this star from 1929 to 1956 wrote 5,000 scripts. Her name was Gertrude Berg, and she won the first Emmy for acting in 1948. She was the first possessor of an Emmy, Gertrude Berg. And Gertrude Berg wrote every script, performed in every show, and produced it, which means she was a perfectionist. She said, you know, we're not going to use sound effects. If we're making bacon, we're going to make a bacon. Then she did a play called A Majority of One, and she won a Tony for that. From 1929 to 1956, she was the dominant ratings winner on CBS. And when television came along, Gertrude Berg said, I want my show on television. I want my radio show on television. And they said, no. And she wrote a script. She wrote a couple of scripts. They said, no, we don't want to make this into a television show. We don't want to shoot it. And she said, really? Is that right? So she went to William Paley, the CEO of CBS. She goes to Bill Paley, the CEO of CBS. And she says, you will put my show on television. You will shoot this show and we will make a season worth of them, and if I don't get ratings, then you can throw it off. And he looked at her, goes, I really don't think it's going to translate onto television. Gertrude, I don't think so. Gertrude Berg, I don't think so, said Bill Paley. And she looked at him and said, get this. She looked at him and said, Bill, I got you through the Depression and World War II. You will put my show on television. And he did. And immediately, it was the number one show on television. Now, what did she get for this? In 1932, get this, in 1932, Gertrude Berg, her contract was up. She was writing it, producing it, starring in the show The Goldbergs, the real Goldbergs. What did she get? The advertiser in 1932 said, we're not paying you one penny more than $2,000 a week. In 1932, $2,000 a week, plus, she was making easily $3,000 a week, maybe more. She had a townhouse in Manhattan. She had an estate up in Connecticut. She earned every penny. One of the richest women in America, the most successful woman in American media, had the hit show from 1929 to 1956. And there is the disposable nature of what we do. Because you did not know who Gertrude Berg was until I shared this incredible story with you. And I've got another one of those coming up in just seconds. I have another story like Gertrude Berg, who just in a nanosecond of history, a flash of history, vanished.
Well, from the way I see it and from what Mrs. Kramer tells me, they're very much in love. So he got an AA and he got a BA and he got a PhD, so what? Should they be separated? Why?
Why? You're talking about human beings. Is there always a why? Why?
Gertrude Berg in The Goldbergs, the number one show on radio from 1929 to 1956. And that's the nature of our lives. It's like we think we're so important. We think everything we say and do is vital and critical. And there was Gertrude Berg, the number one star in television and radio, and 99% of you had no idea who she was. That's how it works. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. It is a company dedicated to giving men the support they need to look great and to feel great. They make terrific body lotion that smells like it's for guys, and hair products that'll help restore a balding head. But more importantly, when you want to be intimate with the person you've loved and the person you've legally married and the person you've partnered with, well, you should be able to. A lot of guys, once they're over 30, they have a challenge. And the challenge is a medical challenge. Now, if you want to be able to be intimate whenever you want, there's a medical solution to a medical problem. It's a medication you've heard about. A little blue pill. It used to cost hundreds and hundreds of bucks, no more. Now it's a generic medicine, and you can get it at forhims.com/Walter. It's a medicine. This is not a social issue. Here's how you get it. You go to forhims.com/Walter. They'll put you in touch with a real doctor, and the real doctor will determine if it's right for you. And then you won't believe it. Try 4HIMS for a month today for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. Prescription products are subject to doctor approval and require an online consultation with a physician who will determine that the medication and the prescription is appropriate. See the website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds of bucks if you went in person to the doctor's office or pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/Walter. That's forhims.com/Walter.
Sterling on Sunday. I'm James Copeland. It's that important.
It really was such a sweet letter from Jim and Lisa DeSantis listening on KDKA. They said that the story that I told about my lovely daughter brought tears to his wife's eye. And I salute you for bringing it to listeners. You're a good man, and I hope you have this job till you want to retire. It's a sweet note from Jim and Lisa D. I appreciate it. What I talked about was the fact that my Samantha, who's age 7, nothing is a big deal. Anything that anybody says to her, and she's very smart, very aware, she knows what's being said to her. Everything, if you say, listen, I'm sorry, if you ask forgiveness, Samantha says,
that's okay.
It's okay. It's not a big deal. Part of this is things are not a big deal because nothing's permanent. All the things you and I think are important and vital, and we have to, the paint color in this room must be right, and you have to put the lights there the right way. Oh, and I can't have that color in my car. We have to have a different color. And I need the new iPhone X. I need the iPhone 11. All these things that we imagine are important, they may be important today, but 20, 30, 40 years ago, they won't even be a memory. I just told you about Gertrude Berg, who was the most powerful person in media. She was a producer, she was the star of the show, and she wrote every script for a sitcom soap opera called The Goldbergs on CBS, which moved to NBC, or it started on NBC and moved to CBS. But she was it. And she was making a fortune doing it and earning it. It would be impossible to imagine how powerful she was. Because she said to Bill Paley, she said, I'm going on TV. She said to the chairman of CBS, no, you don't understand. You are putting my show on TV. Here's television, 1948. My show's going on TV. She was also so powerful that when clowns in Washington said, we think the actor who plays your husband on the show is a communist, you have to fire him. She crossed her arms. She says, I'm not firing him. And she wouldn't fire him. She said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take my show off of your network until you change your mind. And that's what she did, because she was a broadcaster and she knew what was right. And my kid, Samantha, she's the one who says,
that's okay.
It's okay. Not a big deal. Nothing's a big deal. Because this is all tissue. Now, Mary Margaret McBride, the reason there's talk radio today, the reason for Ellen and Oprah, was because of Mary Margaret McBride. Who the heck is Mary Margaret McBride? Let me tell you, get a load of this. Mary Margaret McBride hosted a talk show in that was a network talk show based out of New York City, but she hosted it. It was on ABC. It was on hundreds of stations. Anybody she wanted would come on the show. Imagine this power. After she had been on the air for 10 years, they decided to give Mary Margaret McBride a celebration party. Did they rent the Waldorf? Did they rent a hotel room at the Sheraton? Did they barter out a suite at the Hilton Garden Inn? Did they do it? No. No, they didn't do that. When Mary Margaret McBride had the 10th anniversary of her one-hour-a-day radio talk show, they had it in Madison Square Garden. It was in Madison Square Garden. All right? That's how powerful she was. No, it wasn't. When she had a guest on her talk show, 1 hour a day, 1 hour a day talk show, like Admiral Rickenbacker, the founder of Eastern Airlines, the first one to land a jet on an aircraft carrier, Admiral Rickenbacker. When Admiral Rickenbacker was on her show, she said, "Admiral Rickenbacker, do you ever eat meat?" "Yes, Mary Margaret, I eat meat." Would you please read this commercial for Acme Supermarkets on Long Island? They have a special on steak this week. "Well, I'd be happy to, Mary Margaret." She got the biggest newsmakers in the world to read live copy on her show. Now, at her 15th anniversary, they didn't have it in Madison Square Garden. That wasn't big enough. For Mary Margaret McBride's 15th anniversary on the radio, not TV, on the radio, they had it at Yankee Stadium, because that was the only place that would be big enough. And who hosted it? Who hosted it for Mary Margaret McBride, a radio star? Eleanor Roosevelt.
The thing is, it's not really an adequate reward to you for being such a grand guest, but it's my favorite of the cakes made from our patty cake mixes. Our patty cake mixes. Mm-hmm. This one is the caramel almond. The almonds are all ground up in there.
Could I just sneak a little
piece? Yeah, don't. cut. So they can see the velvety texture, so that they can see how light and yet rich the cakes are that are made from the patty cake mixes.
Mary Margaret McBride, the most powerful broadcaster from 1935 to 1957. Anybody would come on her show. And she was so successful that when they celebrated her 15th anniversary, they had to hold it in Yankee Stadium. And I have spent hours and hours and hours listening to Mary Margaret McBride to learn how to do a talk show, and Sally Jesse Raphael, and all of the great hosts of our day, to study it and learn how it's done. And then I realized most of the hosts that I've listened to and learned from are fantastic, brilliant, powerful women. Coming up in just seconds, I need your advice on how to deal with my daughter's boyfriend's mom.
Sterling on Sunday weather. What's your weather for tomorrow? Unseasonably cold for New England. Frost advisories. Blizzard warnings continuing and colder for many areas in the northern Rockies. Snow down to Tahoe. Several feet of snow across Montana and even colder. And red flag warnings east of Denver for a fire danger. Now, compare that to record-setting heat across the south. Begging for some rain in many drought areas. But we'll stay dry all the way up the I-95 corridor and wet to start your day around the Great Lakes. Shower chances spreading from Illinois to Pennsylvania, even a severe threat for Indiana and Ohio. Sounds like pretty typical fall weather, but no, the winter conditions are very early in the northwest, and the heat is very late in the southeast. Plus, a monster hurricane on the other side of the Atlantic will push giant swells across the entire ocean and up into the Atlantic seaboard starting tomorrow. Expect some coastal flooding. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Cryptozoology. The discovery of undiscovered animals. Later tonight with Mountain Monsters on Sterling on Sunday.
The oldest continually operating radio station in the world sounds like this. That's coming up on Heartland Headlines tonight.
He's out of his mind. He's out of his mind. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. It's Bill White time. KDKA, KFBK, welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday. I'm live on a Sunday night. That's why I have the weather. I have the weather to prove that I'm live on a Sunday night. There's Jim Kardashian. Welcome, Jim. It's great to have you with us. Neil Paul, Judy Anderson, Marilyn Riley, the most beautiful. Marilyn Jewel Riley. Is that the most beautiful name you've ever heard? And my new friends, my new best friends. It's so great to hear from Jim and Lisa D, who wrote me the sweetest note about my Samantha. And I explained that my Samantha, who is seven, is the happiest person I've ever met. And I took a couple of days and figured, why is she the happiest person I've ever met? And it's because she doesn't hold a grudge. She doesn't know how. She forgives you instantly. And therefore, she lives in happiness. She lives in joy. I told the story on the air about Samantha, age seven, that when she was born, instead of crying the first night like most kids, she cooed. How is that possible? She cooed. Everybody who calls in tonight gets a chance to win a prize announcement. Plus, I saw online, I saw a beautiful patriotic flag pin made for women. It's a piece of jewelry. And I thought, you know, I have the best listener, and most of the people who listen happen to be women. And I said, you know, let me find a nice gift. This is not a contest. It's just, if you can guess the mystery voice, I will share a gift from me to you. This is the mystery voice.
So no makeup. I wasn't allowed to have a lot of fun. Crimped hair was about it, maybe a little gloss. When I first got signed, they were having me in clubs in New York. I'm actually from Los Angeles. The music was doing amazing.
So you could win a prize announcement, plus you can win a gift, which is a nice piece of jewelry from me to you, just a gift. And if it happens to be a guy who guesses the mystery voice, terrific. I'm very happy about that. You finally get to give her a gift because you've been a little stingy with the gifts, haven't you? Haven't you? I'm Walter M. Sterling. I have a 16-year-old daughter and a 14-year-old daughter, and I have a problem. Here's my problem. I thought because I am both an alpha male and the father of the daughter that in dating scenarios, agendas, itineraries, I'd be in charge. Instead, repeatedly, I have been at the mercy of the parents of the boy. I thought I'd be in charge. Okay, this is what happened, and I do not know what to do. And I need your advice, because I'm sitting there going, I don't know what to do. And my wife, who's much younger, never suffers, very beautiful, she doesn't know what to do. We don't know what to do. And if you can help me, I'd appreciate it. Here's the problem. Next week is homecoming. They're having their homecoming dance. And the boy invited my 16-year-old daughter to homecoming. And we bought a nice dress for her and made other arrangements to make it a nice evening for my 16-year-old daughter. It seems to be a very big deal. I didn't go to homecoming. My wife didn't go to homecoming. We don't really know about these things, but this is a very big deal to them. And therefore, what do I want? I want this. There. Therefore, we said, great, here's a nice dress, here's nice shoes. We'll make arrangements for you to get there and back safely. We hope you have a terrific time. I made sure that the cameras work. You know, that's Dad's job. I make sure the cameras work. And we hope you have a terrific time at your homecoming. And she's a senior. Therefore, in her mind, this is a very big deal. As we've explained earlier in the evening, things are fleeting. But when you're 16, it seems that things are a very big deal. Well, out of nowhere, the mother of this very nice young man, I like this guy. He wants to go into the Air Force. He's like 6'5". He looks like he's already in the Air Force. It's yes, sir, no, sir. Suits, polite, gets good grades. His mother, capriciously out of nowhere, says, you're not going. You're supposed to study. You have to get into the Air Force or college. You got to fill out these forms. You have some homework due. You're back on some homework. You're in trouble. You cannot go to the dance. Well, okay, but that should have happened before he invited my daughter. That should have happened before he invited my daughter. That young man has made a commitment to my daughter and to my family. We set aside an evening. We bought a dress. We bought shoes. we made other arrangements so they could have a great time. And now a mom who I've never met and who has not called me and has not discussed this with me or my wife is announcing that my daughter cannot go to homecoming and that my daughter does not have a date to homecoming. And she has made her son into a liar. He's not a liar, but this is what she did. Now, I don't know what to do. I'm stumped. I look at the various scenarios, and they all stink to me. But next week, she has homecoming dance. She has her heart set on going to the homecoming dance with this nice young man. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with this. 888-688-WALT is my phone number. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. Everybody who calls in tonight gets a chance to guess the mystery voice. And the person who does get it right, well, I'm going to send you a gift, this nice patriotic pin. I just saw it online. I said, that's a nice pin. It's not expensive. It's not a big deal. Just a gift for me to you. Plus, you win a prize announcement. It's not a bad deal. 888-688-WALT. Coming up tonight, we're going to talk about how Dr. Ruth got to be Dr. Ruth. I need your advice on how to deal with these parents. And the most astonishing story I have ever had the privilege to hear, which is the story of Anna on the bus. Anna on the bus has the most captivating, thrilling, heart-wrenching story that she is going to share with you. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Oh, we have so much to do tonight. 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday. ForHims.com/Walter is a company dedicated to giving men the support they need to look great and to feel great. They make terrific body lotion that smells like it's for guys and hair products that'll help restore a balding head. But more importantly, when you want to be intimate with the person you've loved and the person you've legally married and the person you've partnered with, well, you should be able to. A lot of guys, once they're over 30, they have a challenge. And the challenge is a medical challenge. Now, if you want to be able to be intimate whenever you want, there's a medical solution to a medical problem. It's a medication you've heard about. A little blue pill. It used to cost hundreds and hundreds of bucks, no more. Now it's a generic medicine, and you can get it at forhims.com/Walter. It's a medicine. This is not a social issue. Here's how you get it. You go to forhims.com/Walter. They'll put you in touch with a real doctor. And the real doctor will determine if it's right for you. And then you won't believe it. Try 4HIMS for a month today for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. Prescription products are subject to doctor approval and require an online consultation with a physician who will determine that the medication and the prescription is appropriate. See the website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds of bucks if you went in person to the doctor's office or pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/Walter. That's forhims.com/Walter. Oh, I'm back. Hey, thanks for that cue. Excellent. It's 20 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Now, what I'm sharing is the fact that I have two teenage daughters, 14 and 16. Two teenage daughters, 14 and 16. And the 16-year-old had a date for homecoming. Nice boyfriend said, come to homecoming with me. I'd like you to come with me. She agreed. And we arranged for things, bought the tickets, got the dress, got the shoes, all the nice little things that you do, right? And then out of nowhere, his mother says, you're not going. You're not going. You have homework and this and that. Wait a minute. He made a commitment to my daughter. I'm the father of the daughter. I thought when I got to be the father of the daughter, I was in charge of these itineraries. I have no idea what to say to the mother. I have no idea what to do about this. My wife has no idea what to do about this. You know what I want to do? I want to say, you know, it's the freaking OJ's, man.
Dad, say it like this. It's the freaking OJ's, man.
Mike, listening on WMAL in Washington, D.C. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Mike.
Good evening. I think what you're going to have to do is have a pre-homecoming barbecue. Let the new family know how great they are. And maybe embarrass the son in front of his mother and ask him how he's doing in school. He'll have to be honest. He's going to go in the Air Force, right?
Right.
And then you'll contribute to his better behavior, and maybe you could do a little tutoring or something to make sure he doesn't get behind, and then it'll all be fine.
That's a brilliant idea.
Have kids.
That's a brilliant idea. It's probably because you've never had kids.
Homecoming barbecue. Yeah, sounds good to me. And then butter the mother up a little bit. Some more. the mystery voice, could it be Lady Gaga?
So no makeup. I wasn't allowed to have a lot of fun. Crimped hair was about it. Maybe a little gloss. When I first got signed, they were having me in clubs in New York. I'm actually from Los Angeles. The music was doing amazing.
Mike listening on the great WMAL in Washington. Who do you think that was?
I think it's Lady Gaga.
I am sorry it's not, but I appreciate the call. Thank you very much for calling. Thank you, Mike. Robert in Charleston, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Sterling. How are you this evening?
Hey, buddy. What's going on?
What I would do, I think I wouldn't take any chances. I would try to be as careful as possible. What I would do is I would try to get your daughter to find out from her boyfriend as much as you can about the mother, particularly her psychological state, her background, what kinds of experiences she's had in life, what her present situation is now with regard to marriage and relationships, and then maybe even her ethnic background and religious aspects as well. And then you'll have an idea about how to possibly connect with her. Then I would find out where she goes shopping or when she goes out, you know, to maybe to buy something generally, or if she goes out to any club, or if she goes out to with friends or something like that, particularly shopping, everybody goes shopping, and try to appear accidentally at the same store around the same time at the cash register and say hello, strike up a conversation, so that it doesn't look prefabricated or doesn't look like it was set up. Just happen to be there and talk to her personally as a friend during the afternoon hours when it's plenty sunny, because that has a good effect as well. And then,
you've staged the whole thing right down to sunshine. You need me to have staged sunshine.
Yes, it's very important that the weather's nice, you know, and it's the right time of day. The best time is around the early afternoon hours. And then maybe compliment her on the things she'd buy, ask her maybe about her health and if she thinks about that, if she's inclined in that direction. But you'll have to find out from your daughter, and she'll have to ask the boyfriend, but let's do it in a very careful way so that he doesn't think she's prying into his family too much. And that's the best way to find out, because it's the only way to find out, I guess, because a person like that is probably not going to give you information. She's probably not going to invite you to a barbecue. She doesn't sound like sounds like it's a sticky wicket. So I would be as careful and as conservative as possible.
You know, Robert, these are great ideas. I really appreciate them. Here's the thing. I know that she is separated from her husband. Her husband lives someplace else. And I don't know, you know, there are many, many successful separations and divorces that don't make a person angry or crazy. I don't know what the situation is like. Would you like to guess the mystery voice? He just dropped. But those are great suggestions. Those really were, to find out as much as possible. I don't know if I can creep it. I don't know if I can secretly come into a store where she might be shopping, but I appreciate it. Here's the problem. The problem is that my daughter has been invited to homecoming dance by a nice guy. And then, out of nowhere, his mother says he's not going. Now, I've already bought the dress and all the other things that go with it. Joy, listening on WSB, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Joy.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
I think it's a tragedy for the young man, but your daughter and you are not going to be able to convince his mother to change her mind, and I don't think you should even go there. My recommendation, what I would do if it were my daughter, is I would have her come up with a list of 10 to 12 guys that are not in her class. Maybe they are younger. Maybe they've already graduated. Some of them may be in church, some social group, whatever. And she calls them and says, I've got something really exciting going on this weekend. I'd like for you to go with me if you're available. At that point, he's going to jump in and say, well, I can't, or yeah, I'm available. What is it exactly? And she invites them. And the young Air Force boyfriend, I think that he will, should be able to understand that this is a very important night. This is very important for juniors and seniors. It's the highlight of their year, and she shouldn't miss it. And so I would work that list. If you go through the list and nobody can go, then find, get another, you know, create an additional list until she finds somebody that she will enjoy. It just needs to be a friend, is all. And they go and have a good time. That's what I would do. Now, you might have to, you, Dad, yeah, might have to pay for the tux for this guy, but I think it would be worth it.
I'd be delighted to. Joy, you're absolutely right. That's great advice. It's been a real challenge because I've never met his mom, but I like this guy, and I'm tough, and I'm an old dad, and I know baloney when I see it, and this is a fine young man. I want him dating my daughter. And she,
actually, I think his mom is making a very bad mistake. He needs to go to social events like this to round him out as an individual. He'll be a much better Air Force graduate if he does go to an event like this. But trying to cross that bridge and losing more days, if this is coming up on Friday, I wouldn't waste my time trying to convince her, because you might not make it.
I might not make it. Thank you very much for the call, Joy. It's a tough toll on that bridge. My number is 888-688-WALT. I need your advice on what to do to help my 16-year-old daughter. Her date for homecoming invited her, gave his word, and then his mother said, you're not going. I have no idea what to do. I'm Walter M. Sterling, 888-688-WALT. It's a giant show coming up. I'm going to share with you exactly how Dr. Ruth got to be Dr. Ruth. This is Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Cryptozoology. Cryptozoology. The discovery of undiscovered animals. Later tonight with Mountain Monsters on Sterling on Sunday.
The oldest continually operating radio station in the world. Sounds like this? That's coming up on Heartland Headlines tonight.
All right, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday. Last week, Judy in Dallas told this terrible joke.
Here's Judy in Dallas. Welcome, listening at WPAP, Kevin Graham's great radio station, joining WLS, WMAL, KARN, KMJ. These are giant radio stations, important radio stations. It is a privilege to be on them. Judy, what's your terrible joke?
Okay. Hello?
I'm here. Go.
Okay. This older couple, they're having serious memory problems. So they go to the doctor. Now the doctor tells them to write down everything. So they go home and one night they're watching TV. And the lady, she says, you had like a big bowl of ice cream. And the man says, no problem, I'll get that for you. And she says, remember what the doctor said. We're supposed to write everything down. And he says, I'm just going to the kitchen. I'm not going to forget. And so he comes back a few minutes later and hands her a plate of eggs and bacon. She looks down at it and she shakes her head. And she says, I knew it. You forgot my toast.
Judy in Dallas, a great WBAP listener, thank you very much for your terrible joke. I think what we're going to do for the holidays, and Happy New Year, Happy Rosh Hashanah. I wish you a peaceful Rosh Hashanah, Happy New Year. What a remarkable thing to be able to say, I'm sorry, I goofed, and to be forgiven. And that, I think, is what differentiates us from all other living creatures. 888-688-WALT, you and I are talking about the fact that I have a 16-year-old daughter who was invited to homecoming, and she accepted, and the nice young man who I happen to like invited her, gave his word. We made arrangements, bought the dress and the shoes and the tickets, and we're very excited. And then his mother says, you're not going. I don't know how she talks. You're not going. You're not going to homecoming. And I'm like, well, what do I do? I thought when I was the father of the daughter, I was in charge. As the father of the daughter, I thought I was in charge. Oh, silly me. I really don't know what to do, because I thought, okay, if I call the mom, this is a minor. The kid's under 18. He is 100% under her control. I'm interfering with that relationship. I think this is about his relationship with his mom, not my relationship with them. If he was an adult, I could call him up. I could make a three-way call, solve this together. But I really don't know what to do, because I'm afraid I could make it worse for him. I'm afraid I could make his life worse if I call the mom and we have a chat. Kathleen in Washington, listening on WMAL. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, how are you doing, Walter?
Well, how do you think I'm doing? I don't know what to do about this. It's the weirdest thing.
Well, I feel like Meg Ryan in the movie Sleepless in Seattle calling you, because I couldn't help myself for the guy number two that called you. He sounded like he wanted you to stalk this poor kid through his mother. My best advice is, I've been a single parent for my son's entire life. I've been involved in a relationship for a wonderful man for the past 13 years. And, Walter, the best advice I can give to you is, if the mother is trying to control the son right now, if you really want this gentleman to fall in love with your daughter, the best thing that you could do is let the daughter go to the dance. You bought her the dress. You bought her the shoes. Let her go. Let her have a great time. Let her share the experience that she had at the dance without the boy. Because if the mom is that controlling of her son right now, and he's going to go in the Air Force, he's either going to pull away from his mother, who's trying to control every situation in his life, and he's going to fall in love with your daughter, and he's going to make that separation. It sounds like the mom is having a hard time with control issues. That would be my guess. And if I had every dollar back that I've spent on my son, that I've been disappointed and wanted my son to do things, I would probably have more than $500,000. It's not about the money that you spend, it's the experiences that our children have. And sometimes they have to experience the loss of not being able to get what they want with the relationship that they want, as much as it is to have the relationship with you, to just support her, to be there for her, to realize that she's not going to always have the happy results at the end of her life.
Right. But what do I say to her? What do I say to him? This is clearly a crazy mom.
I've been involved with my son in a relationship where he was dating this crazy daughter. And I felt in the same situation you did. I wanted to say something to the daughter. I wanted to say something to the mom. And through time, my son found out, being a true gentleman to the girl, taking her out, buying her dinner, carrying her books in school, being there for her, wanting to take her to the dance. It turned out that it wasn't the relationship he really thought it was going to be in the end anyway. My best advice is, be there for your daughter, support your daughter. If it works out, great. You know, just be there for her. There's nothing you can do for the son. There's nothing you can do for the mother other than being there for your daughter. This may not be the right happy romance that she right really expects.
It's just a tragedy. Would you like to guess the mystery voice?
Sure.
So no makeup. I wasn't allowed to have a lot of fun. Crimped hair was about it. Maybe a little gloss. When I first got signed, they were having me in clubs in New York. I'm actually from Los Angeles. And the music was doing amazing.
Kathleen, who do you think that is?
I have no idea. Katy Perry?
Darn good guess. That's the best guess I've heard since I started doing the show in the 1950s. Thank you for your call, Kathleen. It's not it, but you gave me excellent ideas about my daughter, and I'm grateful to you. Janice, listening on WSB in Atlanta, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Janice.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Janice. Are you about to go to work on the third shift, or are you about to go to bed?
I used to work. I'm retired now. I used to work third shift.
What kind of work did you do, may I ask?
I was an RN.
All right. We have to stop and salute, because there are no greater people on the planet than RNs. My grandmother was an RN. My wife's grandmother was an RN. I know what it means to be a registered nurse. It's the hardest and greatest work And my grandmother selected to work the third shift. She loved working the third shift. Welcome to the show. When you call in the future, you tell them you're the RN. You will go on next, okay?
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to suggest to you that your daughter, this is a life learning moment, and that you let her be a grown up as much as she can be, you know, make her own decisions, and you just stand behind her. You know what I mean? And don't get involved between mama and the son, because she is controlling the situation and you can't, you know? And you can't always get what you want. You just tell your daughter that's life, that's the way it goes. And you go, you have
a good time, it's good in theory, but I got a 16-year-old daughter who wants to go to a dance on Saturday.
I know. She should have somebody else. And if she doesn't want to go, then she doesn't want to go. But if she wants to go with, you know, just go singly, there'll be other women there probably that don't have dates. But I'm old.
You're not old. Would you like to guess the mystery voice?
No, Madonna.
So no makeup. I wasn't allowed to have a lot of fun.
It's not Madonna, but that's a good guess in many ways, and I thank you very much for your call. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Debbie, listening on KMOX, I suspect. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
Hi.
I've never called a radio station before, but I just had to do it tonight. So
I'm delighted. Thank you.
Well, here's my feelings on it. I think this young man is probably horrifically embarrassed by what's happened. This is an opportunity for your daughter to support him as much as she can. I'm a grandmother of 16 and 18-year-old girls who, when there's no young man to go with, they have a bunch of girlfriends that go, and they have a really good time. It shouldn't affect her being able to go with her friends. And she can be supportive of him. It's going to be really hard on him because he knows what's going on with his mother, you know?
Yeah, but she's a senior, and this is the first year for homecoming that a boy has asked her.
It's hard. I have a senior who's first time that someone's asked her to, so I
understand
that it's probably a difficult thing. Yep.
Well,
I'm sure it's difficult, but I feel bad because it is a learning experience, and it's hard on her, and I'm sure it's hard on him, and, you know, there's a lot going on in his life with his mother, and I just don't know what to tell you. I mean,
no, you're great. You're terrific, and I appreciate the call. Thank you very, very much for the call. Thank you.
I'm ready.
All right, buddy. Say, oh, that's okay.
Guys, the Ojo man.
Say that again. That was great.
The Ojo man. If I had a chance,
888-688-WALT. Coming up in just seconds, I'm going to share with you the story of how Dr. Ruth Westheimer actually stayed on the air. Not how she got on the air. That part's easy. How she stayed on the air. This is Sterling on Sunday. I love forhims.com/Walter. forhims.com/Walter is a company dedicated to giving men the support they need to look great and to feel great. They make terrific body lotion that smells like it's for guys, and hair products that'll help restore a balding head. But more importantly, when you want to be intimate with the person you've loved and the person you've legally married and the person you've partnered with, well, you should be able to. A lot of guys, once they're over 30, they have a challenge. And the challenge is a medical challenge. Now, if you want to be able to be intimate whenever you want, there's a medical solution to a medical problem. It's a medication you've heard about. A little blue pill, it used to cost hundreds and hundreds of bucks, no more. Now it's a generic medicine, and you can get it at forhims.com/Walter. It's a medicine. This is not a social issue. Here's how you get it. You go to forhims.com/Walter. That puts you in touch with a real doctor, and the real doctor will determine if it's right for you. And then you won't believe it. Try 4HIMS for a month today for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. Prescription products are subject to doctor approval and require an online consultation with a physician who will determine that the medication and the prescription is appropriate. See the website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds of bucks if you went in person to the doctor's office or pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/Walter. That's forhims.com/Walter.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Cryptozoology. Cryptozoology. The discovery of undiscovered animals. Later tonight, with Mountain Monsters on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Keep your hands in the car.
All right, 888-688-WALT. I got great advice on how to deal with the fact that my 16-year-old had a date to homecoming, and the boyfriend's mother said no. And I thought, as the father of the daughter, I was in charge of itineraries and who got to go with who. Turns out this has happened many times to me. I'm in charge of nothing once again. This is what always happens to me. I'm in charge of nothing once again. Well, I got some great advice. And what I heard was, my first instinct was to call the mom. And when you called in, you said, do not call the mom. It's a bad idea. It's about her relationship with him. You're just going to make things worse. But the best thing I heard was, all of you suggested, every caller said, send your daughter. Make sure your daughter goes anyway. That's her experience. That's her life. Make sure she goes anyway. Get her together with a group of guys. Get her together with a group of friends. And that's great advice. So that's what we're going to do. It's a very busy night, and I'm way behind. But I want to tell you, coming up in just seconds, I'm going to share with you how Dr. Ruth Westheimer stayed on the air. Putting somebody on the air, take it from me, is easy. Now, for decades before I had a talk show, thank you, Chris Olivero, for decades before I had a talk show, I was an executive. I wore wingtip shoes, and I wore a pinstripe suit, and I have not done that in 7 years, but it seems to haunt me. But I thought about the fact that I was surrounded by people who put Dr. Ruth Westheimer on the air. But how did we keep her on the air? Because that was quite a trick. It was at 30 Rockefeller Plaza, owned by NBC. Oh, no, no, owned by RCA. How did we keep her on the air? I'll share that story with you coming up in just seconds. Plus, I'm so bad with the social media. If you go to Facebook right now, Walter M. Sterling Facebook, Walter M. Sterling Facebook, you can see the live video stream from the laundry room. Yes, I'm really in a laundry room. When I get to meet you, 99% of the time, the question I'm asked most is, do you really do the show from a laundry room? Yes, I really do it from a laundry room. Why would I make it up? If I was in a stunning, amazing studio with too many desks, too many computer screens, too much processing, I would tell you. But I'm actually in a laundry room. And I have done laundry for you. Sergeant Elizabeth Thomason, Special Sergeant in the Air Force. Sergeant Elizabeth Thomason, listening on WBAP, was the first one to send us laundry to do. She sent us Army fatigues, and we actually did Sergeant Elizabeth Thomason's Army fatigues. And what an honor that was. And coming up, you're going to hear the most amazing interview ever, the most stunning conversation you could ever imagine with a veteran, a woman veteran. Anna from the bus. How I met Anna, the conversations that Anna and I have had are remarkable, and we'll share that with you. And I found out some things about homeless veterans that's not okay. That's terrifying to me. And you know, I don't do PSAs and public service announcements. No, no, no. This is far more important. If I lived in Washington, D.C., this would be the only priority I have. That's coming up in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather. What's your weather for tomorrow? Unseasonably cold for New England. Frost advisories. Blizzard warnings continuing and colder for many areas in the northern Rockies. Snow down to Tahoe. Several feet of snow across Montana and even colder. And red flag warnings east of Denver for fire danger. Now, compare that to record-setting heat across the south. Begging for some rain in many drought areas. But we'll stay dry all the way up the I-95 corridor and wet to start your day. Around the Great Lakes. Shower chances spreading from Illinois to Pennsylvania, even a severe threat for Indiana and Ohio. Sounds like pretty typical fall weather, but no, the winter conditions are very early in the Northwest, and the heat is very late in the Southeast. Plus, a monster hurricane on the other side of the Atlantic will push giant swells across the entire ocean and up into the Atlantic seaboard starting tomorrow. Expect some coastal flooding. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Wetherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 past the hour. All night on Sterling on Sunday.
The Cherokee Death Cat. It is a ferocious, nasty beast that looks exactly like a lion, except it's bigger, it's more ferocious, and it's elusive as all get out. Appalachia is filled with these things. They're all over Appalachia, especially in North Carolina. So the crew of Mountain Monsters, they went searching because they're cryptozoologists. And let me tell you, this cast, if you've not watched the show on the Travel Channel, may I say it is an amazing show. They've got a guy named Trapper John. He's a team leader. Buck, he's an expert caller. He used to be the rookie on the show, but this is season 6. Huckleberry. Huckleberry has more fingers than he does teeth. Jeff Headley, researcher, Willie, and of course Wild Bill, who Willie and Wild Bill are always building extraordinary traps, and they did in this episode as they went to try to hunt down the Cherokee Death Cat. Cryptozoology is one of the great sciences that is very, very underreported, except for on the Travel Channel. And the cryptozoologists, they are a bunch looking for beasts, looking for animals, realizing thousands of animals are discovered every year. Every year! And these brave men in their Depression-era clothing are doing whatever they can to find these beasts, to bring them to us. Brave men like this just don't grow on trees. For your Mountain Monsters update, I'm Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan, for Sterling on Sunday.
I'm Sterling, and welcome my Midnight Misfits. There's Judy Anderson, Neil Paul, welcome, Marion Jewel Riley, D. Wells, the fabulous D. Wells, Ann Nupp. Ann's one of these people who makes beautiful food, posts it on Facebook, and then doesn't send me any. Ann Nupp, it's time for you to send me some food. One of the things that I've noticed that makes me super happy is that most Midnight Misfits happen to be people who are women. And the reason this makes me happy is I know that at this time, there are a lot of reasons that you might feel alone or a little unsafe, and I'm glad that you and I get to be together. If you're going to work on the third shift, this is Monday morning. This is Monday morning. Or if you've just come home from the second shift, welcome home. It's you and me. It's just us. We get to be together, alone in the car. It's fantastic. And then my new friends, my new best friends in life, Jim and Lisa D., thank you for the sweet note about Samantha. Samantha is my 7-year-old. I have not talked about my kids specifically because there's a level of privacy that I like to maintain, not for me, because I'm an open book. I'm an open book. No, but for them, you know, for them. And I got their permission before I talk about them. I always do.
I'm ready.
All right, buddy. Say, oh, that's okay.
Guys, it's the Ojo Man.
Say that again. That was great.
There's the Ojo Man.
It's the Ojo Man.
All right, my Midnight Misfits, it's just us. The reason that you're listening to the radio right now is you don't fit in. The reason I'm on the radio right now is I don't fit in. I get email about two things, and every email I get gets answered. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. Every email I get gets answered. I don't have bloated staff. I'm just bloated myself. I have edema in my feet. I'm bloated. No need for a bloated staff. Here's the deal. I get three emails. You overmodulated, and we study this every week. We run the traps every week to find out if I'm overmodulating. So far, no science behind that. It's a theory. It's a conspiracy theory. And number two, I'm asked, are you really in the laundry room? The answer is yes, and you can see it live right now. Go to Walter M. Sterling at Facebook, Walter M. Sterling at Facebook, and you can see a live video stream of my laundry room right now. And the third thing is, why aren't you on 5 days a week? I have no idea why I'm not on 5 days a week, but I do know who can solve the problem. If you write a note to your local friendly program director and say, we'd really like to hear Walter M. Sterling on 5 days a week, the radio station you're listening on, they have a webpage. If you go way to the bottom, contacts, and then way below that, you go to buy advertising, and then way below that, you'll find a click for program director. Send the program director a note. Many program directors hide, and they don't put their name on that website, but they should. But they should. Let me tell you a great quick story about how Dr. Ruth got to be on the radio, and then I want to talk about veterans. Then I want to talk about some veteran statistics that terrified me about homeless veterans. And I'm not going to tell you it to make you feel sad. I'm going to tell you it to give all of us a little hope and action. Whenever I hear hosts like me talk about, well, the veteran situation is terrible. It's just terrible. Veteran situation. No. I'm going to share with you things you and I can do and take some action and feel better. How Dr. Ruth got to stay on the radio. Action for veteran and the astonishing, amazing story of Anna on the bus.
Adoption agencies to say, I'm sorry to my children. See, when you make these mistakes, you got to ask forgiveness. You just can't walk around there numb, so ashamed like I was that I can't say I'm sorry and deprive the people that you've offended any closure, any kind of anything, any answers to their lives. You got to face the music.
A detailed conversation with Anna on the bus, an astonishing woman. All right, let's do this very important thing now for my Midnight Misfits.
Now, everyone is excited. It's time for the secret Midnight Misfit decoder message. Listen and decode this on your Midnight Misfit decoder card.
Here are tonight's secret numbers and letters. The first letter is L, then K, Y, Z, O, 4, and then a percent sign, and the number 1, L, K, Y, Z, O, 4, percent sign, and the number 1, and then just for Neil Pohl, an exclamation mark. I'll give it to you one more time. LKYZO 4% sign and the number 1.
Get your Midnight Misfit decoder card for free right now at the website waltermsterling.com and listen again for this mysterious music.
All right, coming up in just seconds, how Dr. Ruth Westheimer actually stayed on the air. Not how she got on the air, how she actually stayed on the air. Plus, disgusting, horrible statistics about homeless veterans and action that you and I can take to help solve the challenge and the amazing conversation with Anna on the bus. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, full of baloney.
888-688-WALT. I can't hit all of these cues. I'm not a professional broadcaster. Let's not get crazy here with all of these cues. Hold on. I wish you a happy new year, a peaceful Rosh Hashanah. This is Sterling on Sunday. I love being on the radio at this time. This is the best time of day to be on the radio. These hosts, they fight to get on an afternoon drive and morning drive, and they fight to be on, you know, another hour till 10. No, I never want to be on any other time on the radio except right now. This is when I want to be on the radio because it's just you and me. You and I alone in the car, you and I going to work, coming back from work. Radio stations at this time, do they give you traffic? Most of them, no. Do they give you weather? Most of them, no. But I give you live weather. I give you weather from a real meteorologist. Why doesn't every network show do that? Oh, because they're all delayed. Not me. We're live on KMJ and KUFO in Portland and WBAP in Dallas. We're live on WLS in Chicago. Stephanie Titchener, how's that working out? Are you having fun? And K-A-R-N in Little Rocks. I'm having the best time. This is the best time of my life. I've had such a great career where I've been an executive, and I did executive things and had a corner office and had secret telephones. That's how you know if it's a real executive, if they have secret telephones. At one point in my career, I was an executive in charge of the NBC-owned FM radio stations. Now, let's think about that. I have no qualifications to be in charge of anything, but I was in charge of the NBC-owned radio stations. And during the time that I was there, it was in the early 1980s, during the time that I was there, FM was becoming a thing. It was being built up. And one of the things I'm proud of is that throughout my career, either as a consultant or an executive at every single FM radio station that I ever worked with, you know what I did? I did something almost nobody does. I added news staff. I added news people. Because I found that the more news people an FM radio station had, the better the ratings. These were radio stations that played music. For decades, I'd programmed radio stations that played music, and the first thing I did when I walked in the door is I hired more news people because it made the radio station smarter. And it put the station on the cutting edge of the community and put it in touch with the community. And I had better disc jockeys because I had smart news people. I did this at every single station. And then later on, I started to consult and work with FM news and FM talk stations and built up a few of them of note that are rigorously copied around the country. And I'm proud of that, too. But I always, always added news people. I even have a letter from the FCC staff saying more people should run their radio stations the way you are in terms of your investment in the community. And actually, one FCC staffer actually included that in a speech or an interview, one or the other, speech or an interview. But regardless, this is how Dr. Ruth came to be. Dr. Ruth Westheimer, who I'm so proud is about to be inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame, It makes me very happy. But if you're under 30, under 35, you may not know who Dr. Ruth Westheimer is. Dr. Ruth Westheimer was the first PhD, two PhDs, to go on the radio once a week and share honestly about human sexuality and interpersonal relationships. And she had two PhDs. She is also about 4'11". Now she's 92 years old and just fine, thank you. Dr. Ruth's just fine, a force of nature, a powerful and important person. I was running an FM radio station in New York City for NBC, which was owned by RCA. And the public affairs director, Betty Elam, said, I found this person. She wants to be on the radio. Let's put her on for 15 minutes every Sunday night. And it was fascinating. We increased it to an hour every Sunday night. And the general manager of the station is a man named Dan Griffin. And Dan Griffin was not to be messed with. He had been, I'm pretty sure, in an intelligence agency for the United States government. He never took off his jacket. He read the legal notices very carefully that came from the government. And he was in charge of that radio station. And because he was so sober, he was so in charge, nobody would mess with this guy. He never spoke louder than this. Never did Dan Griffin speak louder than this. And we became pretty good friends. Well, Now we put on Dr. Ruth Westheimer. And Dr. Ruth Westheimer is talking candidly about human relations and intimacy. Well, that hadn't been done, really. No, I take it back. There have been a couple people to do it. But she was doing it in New York. And she was doing it in that building, the RCA building, owned by NBC, owned by RCA. RCA had thousands of patents that they needed to protect. They had the largest TV stations and the largest radio stations in the world. Why? Because they invented it. They invented television. They invented radio. It was all invented in that building. And now here is this 4'11" woman talking about intimate issues on the radio at 10 o'clock on Sunday nights. And here's what would happen. Once or twice a month, NBC Standards and Practices would show up in my office. And NBC Corporate Counsel would show up in my office. And they would discuss various things that the doctor had said. They'd discuss various things. And I'd listen, and I'd listen. And when they were done talking and done doing their job, I listened with respect. I listened with great concern over the value of those licenses and where I was sitting at 30 Rockefeller Plaza. Because like I said, putting her on the air, that was easy. Keeping her on the air was the key. Because for the first 6 months, she had no ratings, and she had no revenue on her show. There was no revenue on her show. It was Sunday night. Who's going to protect and defend a show at 10 p.m. on Sunday night? Who's going to do that? And I'm listening to Standards and Practices and legal and sharing all their concerns. Now, it's a good thing that we kept her on. Because you see, in the early 1980s, that was the beginning of the AIDS epidemic. And that's when Dr. Ruth first went on the air. And she, from first show to last show, the first thing she'd say is, wear a condom. She said that more than the CEO of Trojan. She was determined that America wear a condom. And then when the AIDS epidemic broke, she made it very clear, this is what you need to do. And she said it over and over and over again. And because she became part of the mainstream media on The Tonight Show and David Letterman's show, I believe she'd save lives, because this was a time when people who, I lived in Manhattan at the epicenter of it, this is a time when my next door neighbor, above, below, around me, they were dying. They were being taken out of my apartment building in ambulances during the AIDS crisis, and Dr. Ruth was the voice of sanity saying, here's how you prevent it. Now, why did we keep Dr. Ruth on the air, even though other NBC executives said, take her off, Walter. It's too much trouble. You're having too much trouble dealing with her. You don't need all this nonsense. Why? It's Sunday night at 10 p.m. What do you care? And I'd look at them and I'd say, there is a reason that it's important to keep Dr. Ruth Westheimer on the air. It's important. There's a noble mission here. And the noble mission is, she's really funny. We got to keep her on because she's really funny. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Coming up, you're going to hear the most astonishing interview ever with Anna on the Bus. Anna on the Bus. You've never heard anything like this. Can't wait for you to hear it. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Walter M. Sterling.
Who would even think of something that stupid? Who would even think of that? I mean, really, that's... It's scary. It's scary that my brain would come up with that. All right. Sterling on Sunday on a Sunday night. It's great to be with you. And I thank you very much for being with me tonight. Every email I get, it gets answered. WalterMSterling@gmail. WalterMSterling@gmail. The closer I get to the mic, the more sincere I sound. Do I sound like extra sincere right now? I think so. And if you go to Walter M. Sterling Facebook, you will see the live video stream from my laundry room. This is where I do the show, from my laundry room. Why? Because Mrs. Sterling decided where I would be doing the show. I said, why don't I do it from the living room? And she concluded that the laundry room was the best solution. Now, when you think of homeless veterans, you may not immediately think of women vets. But the Department of Veterans Affairs says that women comprise the fastest growing segment of the homeless veteran population. What? Annual Homeless Assessment Report to Congress, sorry, I read that, I should have skipped that, estimates that over 40,000 veterans are homeless on any given night in January. 9% of them, 4,000, are women. The number of homeless women veterans have increased 7%, over 1% for their male counterparts. A VA-funded study, blah, 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 36,000 homeless veterans over a five-year period. The figure, all right. Many of the homeless women veterans don't seek assistance. As a result, many do not identify themselves as being veterans. They tend to stay away from the organizations wishing to help them because they feel they were betrayed by the organization in the past. Data from the VA's Military Sexual Trauma Screening Program shows that about 1 in 4 women and 1 in 100 men say they were experienced sexual trauma or assault while in the military. I'm like, what? What? I was horrified to learn that one woman vet could be homeless. To find out that thousands, 9,000, 10,000 women vets are homeless is inexcusable. And then I thought about my friend Anna on the bus. And Anna on the bus has some story. Now, if you're about to go to work, if you're about to have to do something less important than listen to this show, I beg you, please go to Apple iTunes or radio.com or iHeartMedia, wherever you find podcasts, and please download the Midnight Misfit podcast number 300. That's my whole interview with Anna on the bus. You have to hear this. But this is a part of my conversation with Anna from the bus, and it's unbelievable how remarkable this woman is and her story. It's my friend Anna on the bus. How you doing, Anna?
I can't stop laughing.
And Anna is a remarkable person. Now, Anna, let me tell you some quick headlines about Anna. You were in the military, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And what branch and what was your rank?
I was in the Air Force, and I was in part of the 514th Military Airlift Wing. I was a 902, an AeroVac medic. My rank, E3. I just got a little mosquito wing there.
Anna, I can't begin to tell you how much respect I have for anybody who volunteers for military service and anybody who volunteered for the Air Force. It's a remarkable thing. Anna has a story that's fascinating. Anna, you told me once that when you were a kid, you became very good at boxing or fighting. And that you were, in fact, pretty good at beating up boys. Tell me why you did that. Why you learned to be a good fighter.
Well, first of all, I'm a native of Brooklyn, New York.
Yay, Brooklyn, go!
Is there Brooklyn in the house? And it begins with my dad. My dad, a baritone singer, a tractor trailer driver, and also a boxer. My father, an old school boxer, because I'm an old school lady. He boxed in the days of Kid Chocolate. And so growing up as a child, being his daughter, and him wanting a boy so bad, well, he didn't get a boy, he got a girl. I had to watch him train. I watched him jump. I watched him shadow box. I watched him push his hands in barrels of salt to toughen his knuckles. And so, of course, now, being a little girl, and this is Daddy, I want to do everything that Daddy did. So he jumped, I jumped. So we skip rope together. We shadow boxed together. We performed combinations. He taught me combinations. I stuck my fist in salt. And yes, I even made myself, I even followed him up, and I would do the karate chops to my stomach to tone my diaphragm. And so growing up as a little girl, and my dad being a tractor trailer driver, during the summer, well, most of the kids on the block
okay, their parents, so they would either go away for the summer, but I didn't. So my dad decided to take me with him to work.
And work was, he was a tractor trailer
driver. So work was going with him on the truck.
What was his day like? What did he have to do?
So his day was very early in the morning, before dark, like 5 in the morning, 4:30, that we would go and to the warehouse and we would pick up the load, sometimes even 4. And then we would take that load down to what was known as Bush Terminal. And this was during the days of, well, I guess you could call it civil rights. This was the early 60s. So we might be the first ones down there at the gate to drop our load off at the waterfront. But if there was a Caucasian tractor trailer driver in his truck, he would be placed ahead of us on the line. So by the time 8 or 9 o'clock got there, we might have 15, 20 trucks ahead of us.
Well, let me just get that picture again. You get there at 4 or 5 in the morning. You're the first truck there. You're there to load up your truck, and time is critical so that you have to get that truck to another location. Time
this is very true.
So you get there at 5 in the morning, 4 in the morning, and your father was African-American.
Yes.
And he could be there first.
He was there first.
And the dispatcher would let Caucasian truck drivers ahead of him in line.
And this was the way of the world at the time. So, my dad was a quiet man. And I asked him, why are the people going ahead of us in line? And in essence, he kind of told me, well, that was the way of the world. And it was kind of like a caste system, even amongst the drivers. There was Italian-speaking drivers, there was Polish drivers, there was Irish drivers, and they had their children there, too. And it was kind of like a ladder of who got ahead of who to drop their loads at the gate. So they decided, the drivers, some of them got along, some didn't, some were more friendlier than others, to have a game. Well, since all the kids were there, they would have the kids play kind of like they would have them box each other. Everybody had a son. I was the only girl. So my dad and I sat in the truck and I looked out the window and I saw what was going on. And my dad looked kind of sad over the fact that he had a girl. So I looked at him. I said, well, I can do that. He said, you can? I said, sure. I said, but you're a girl. I said, well, they won't know it. Give me your hat. So my dad put his hat on my head, and I threw the door open, and I jumped down off the truck. And I was pretty tall for my age, very lean. So I kind of like waited my turn as the knockdown and the smackdown went on and on, and finally I was next up. Well, it was a left jab and a right cross and one to the belly. And my dad always told me about the glass chins and to go for the abdomen, go for the diaphragm, and then come back and follow up with a cross. And down the kid went. And the next kid. And the next kid. And we made our place in line. We no longer had to wait at the back. We were always allowed to be the first in line. The guys couldn't beat me.
That's Anna on the bus. Anna has wonderful stories of gratitude, wonderful stories about her remarkable growing up. Tell me about your mom, Anna.
Well, Mama. My mother was a Harlemite,
was born a Harlemite, lady raised me. And she had poor eyesight, and she attended Hunter College in 1929. Very fair-skinned. So again, the way of the world. She was allowed to go there because she was so fair she could pass for white.
What does that mean? Was that a thing?
From what she told me, that was the way of the world. And she was very good with playing the piano. And her dream was to become a concert pianist. And of course, I got to bring Daddy in it because Daddy sang baritone and he had a voice like Paul Robeson. They were a very cultured couple. They were very much ahead of their time. Well, Mom lost her eyesight when I was 3 years old. And I remember being in the room with her, with her brother, Uncle Peter. Now, Uncle Peter, I have to bring him into the picture, was a very dainty kind of man with long, black, wavy hair that shined in the dark. It was beautiful. And he used to wear it in a big ball up under a knit hat. And he was sweeping the floor. And I had kind of like was trying to help him pick up the dust. And my mom said, turn on the light. So Uncle Peter said, the light's on. She said, stop playing with me and turn on the light. It's dark in here. And that's when we realized that her sight had faded away.
Anna, how old was she then?
I can't rightly call how old my mom was. I really never gave that any much thought. But I know I was three.
How old was...
And she was born in 1914.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
Did I have? None.
All right, so it was just you and Mom.
Me, Mom, and Dad.
How did her blindness affect you?
Well, when her lights went out, the lights of my childhood went out with it. Because then I had to grow up real quick.
I met Anna on the crosstown bus, on the 23rd Street crosstown bus, and she wasn't supposed to be on it. Her driver missed her. She missed her car ride. She had just come from the Veterans Hospital where she was getting rehabilitation. I met her on the bus. I wasn't supposed to be on that bus either. Her story is remarkable. I've made it easy for you to hear the whole story. We've made a webpage just for that story, Anna, A-N-N-A, AnnaOnTheBus.com, A-N-N-A, TheBus.com, AnnaOnTheBus.com. This way you don't have to go traipsing through all sorts of websites to find the podcast. It has one thing on this page, that podcast, the full interview with Anna on the Bus. I'll tell you how I met her coming up in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday. If you want to be a Midnight Misfit, you can get an official membership card. Go to waltermsterling.com, waltermsterling.com. I was on the crosstown bus. And one of the things you learn when you're in radio is to pay attention to people who gather a crowd. I'm on the crosstown bus, and there's a woman on the phone. And she's telling some other woman to not live with the guy before they get married. She's being very specific. And that's interesting. And it's a very crowded bus. It's 5 p.m. It's an express crosstown bus. Everybody's standing. Around this woman, people she does not know are adding to the conversation she's having with the person on the other end of the phone. Yeah, tell her not to live with the guy. Tell her not to move in with the guy. Tell her not to live with the guy. They're participating in her conversation. Because she is so compelling about what she is telling this woman on the phone. It's not their conversation, but she's involved with it. It doesn't bother her. these complete strangers are throwing advice, throwing things at her, suggestions, tips. It doesn't bother her. I'm fascinated. I give her my business card. I get off the bus. I say, you must get in touch with me. And that's Anna on the bus. And you must hear her whole story. Go to Anna on the bus, A-N-N-A, AnnaOnTheBus.com. It's as simple as pie. One-page website. You click and listen to the story. No complicated things. There's the audio of her story. Anna on the bus. It's the best story. Next week, you and I are going to talk about what the heck we can do about the fact that there are women veterans who are homeless, which is inexcusable. The biggest gift you and I can be given is a request for help. Complicated things. There's the audio of her story. Anna on the bus. It's the best story. Next week, you and I are going to talk about what the heck we can do about the fact that there are women veterans who are homeless, which is inexcusable. The biggest gift you and I can be given is a request for help.